broadcasting life and truth around the world. You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. If you would like to ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and a reminder that we not only do the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we also do the Hank Unplugged podcast. You can find them archived on the web at equip.org. You can also, of course, write us whenever you want information about our ministry outreaches at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The number to dial to get your questions answered today, 888-ASK-HANK. Had another great review on the Hank Unplugged podcast, which says, I particularly enjoyed the problems with the peer review process and the claims of consensus science being discussed by Hank and Jay. He's talking about Jay Richards. And by the way, Jay Richards is the author of the two resources that we have available for those who support the ministry all this month. This particular review goes on to say, if anyone is genuinely interested in learning how to actually think critically and logically on the hotly charged subject of global warming, I recommend listening very closely to the first 47 minutes of the podcast. It is phenomenal. Again, we teach people how to think critically, how to ask the right questions, how to ask the right questions in the right sequence, and then we talk about what scientific consensus really is, and why should we buy into the moniker scientific consensus? Most of the greatest breakthroughs in science have not come as a result of consensus. I'll leave it at that. But you can find the Hank Unplugged podcast wherever you consume your favorite podcast. And if you love it like this particular reviewer did, please go to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating. Early this morning, I picked up the Wall Street Journal, as is my habit. I read 3 newspapers early in the morning, and I read an article titled, Is Sisi Good for Egypt's Christians? The article, an excellent article written by Marlo Safi. Ms. Safi is a fellow at the National Review. And she points out on Thursday that Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, so yesterday he visited the recently opened Coptic Cathedral of the Nativity, which is not far from Cairo. And he said it signifies a land of religious freedom and opportunity. However, as Marlo points out, many Coptic Christians feel that the new house of worship means very, very little given the persecution and even martyrdom that they face on a routine basis. Copts make up only about 10% of the Muslim majority country, and that is very, very sad when you think about the fact that this is a Christian church traced all the way back to the visit of the Apostle Mark to Egypt in the year 50, so not long after the death of our Lord. And, you know, the reality is that Coptic Christians have faced tough times for 2,000 years. I mean, this is nothing new. I think back to January 2011, where Islamists bomb a Coptic church in Alexandria, killing 23 and injuring 97. As Marlo points out, since then, the persecution of the Coptic Christians has grown even worse. The most visible threat has been the rise, of course, of the Islamic State and other Islamic groups. ISIS, in fact, you might recall, released a video in 2015 that showed the beheading of 20 Egyptian Coptic Christians. In 2017, two Coptic churches were bombed during Palm Sunday processions. In November 2018, not all that long ago, Islamic militants opened fire on two buses carrying Coptic Christians on a pilgrimage to an ancient monastery in Upper Egypt, killing seven and wounding 14. Cops are blocked from nearly all important government positions. So when this freedom of religion is expressed, you got to look at the reality. Cops are excluded from Egypt's intelligence service and state security. Their percentage in the armed services and police force is capped at just 1%. And they are similarly discriminated against in the foreign service, the judiciary, the education sector, and the government-owned public sector. In fact, a 2016 law implemented by Sisi's government allows the legalization of existing churches and the creation of new ones, but the law has fueled increasing violence against Christians within Egypt. Egyptians riot and protest against approved churches. They loot them. They burn Christian properties, and they assault the Christians. Christian homes are burned down by their Egyptian neighbors, and Christian women face near daily public harassment. We ought to tell some of our legislators about that, who talk about how Islam is a religion of peace and tolerance. Of course, as I've written about in Muslim, what you need to know about the world's fastest growing religion, Muslim persecution, is nothing new. They've been persecuting Christians since the 7th century. Not long after Muhammad's death, the Muslims invaded the Byzantine Empire. They were fired up by Muhammad's promise that the first army amongst his followers who would invade what he called Caesar's city, Constantinople, now Istanbul, they will be forgiven of their sins. In the year 635, just 3 years after Muhammad had died, Damascus. Remember Damascus? That's the city where St. Paul was heading when he experienced his dramatic conversion to Christianity. Damascus fell to the invading Muslims. And then 2 years later, Antioch. Antioch, of course, is where the disciples of Jesus were first called Christians. Well, Antioch fell to the Muslim hordes. And shortly thereafter, it was the very unhappy task of the Patriarch of Jerusalem to hand over the city to the conquering Umar. From the fall of Jerusalem right to the article I read in the Wall Street Journal, the world has known jihad. Muhammad's trail of terror, well, that is the legacy of Islam. He migrated to Medina, never assimilated. After reaching critical mass, he slew the pagans. He took their houses and their lands. He seized Mecca. Later on, he made it the centerpiece of his conquests, and it beleaguered the cities of Arabia, taking their women, their wealth, as his own private property. His every stratagem of war paved the way for what 14 centuries later would be the most prolific pseudo-religion in the world. I say pseudo-religion in that Islam is not a religion in the Western sanitized sense of the word. It is a socio-political enterprise that rides on the rails of Sharia. And when you think about what Sharia is, it is a very, very terrifying thing, because Sharia mandates terror against you and I, terror against the infidel, and they are exacting that terror in places all over the world, the mass genocide of Christians in the Levant, squarely in the blind spot of the West, and we seek to bring that to the attention of Christians for their prayers and for whatever they can do to help in this regard. We are coming to station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Also, when we come back, I'll give you a definition of jihad from Muslim sources and from other sources as well. Stay tuned for that.
Are you worried about artificial intelligence? You're not alone. Pop culture pummels us with images of intelligent machines overtaking humans. Transhumanists believe that humans are merely machines and that artificial intelligence is the next step in our evolution. In his new book, The Human Advantage, Jay Richards dispels these dystopian tales and explains why we should be far more hopeful than fearful about our future on account of what he calls the human advantage. To receive your copy of The Human Advantage, The Future of American Work in an Age of Smart Machines, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal. Just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many. The gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Smart machines are reshaping our world and our future. But these machines will never be a substitute for what Dr. Jay Richards calls the human advantage. Yet it is critical for the next generation of Christians to understand that in the future, more and more jobs will be done by smart machines, and we must plan accordingly. The new book by Dr. Jay Richards, The Human Advantage, will help you understand the increasing threat posed by artificial intelligence and show why the marvelous creation of the human mind and body can never be matched by any machine. To receive your copy of The Human Advantage, The Future of American Work in an Age of Smart Machines, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The Dictionary of Islam defines, and this is the definition of the day, defines jihad as, quote, a religious war with those who are unbelievers in the mission of Muhammad. It is an incumbent religious duty established in the Quran and in the traditions as a divine institution and enjoined specially for the purpose of advancing Islam and repelling evil from Muslims. This is not the only definition, although it is a clear one. If you read the Encyclopedia of Islam, you will find there another definition in law, according to general doctrine and historical tradition, says the Encyclopedia of Islam. The jihad consists of military action with the object of the expansion of Islam. Myriad non-Muslim dictionaries define jihad in a similar fashion. Now, why am I sharing all of this? Because we're hearing all kinds of nonsense in the media today about jihad being this inner war. There's the skin of the truth to that, but it's stuffed with a great big lie. Again, myriad non-Muslim dictionaries define jihad as the American Heritage Dictionary does, which is that jihad is a Muslim holy war or spiritual struggle against infidels. Or the Oxford Dictionary of Current English, which defines jihad as a war or struggle against unbelievers. And then there is the Merriam-Webster Learner's Dictionary, which defines jihad as a war fought by Muslims to defend or spread their beliefs. All of this is rooted in Sharia. Sharia describes jihad as a communal obligation. It has an objective. The objective is to invite infidels, Jews and Christians, to enter Islam in faith and practice or else pay the non-Muslim poll tax or the jizya. If infidels neither convert nor pay, well, then war is prescribed. Fight those who do not believe in Allah and the last day, and who forbid not what Allah and His Messenger have forbidden, who do not practice the religion of truth, being of those who have been given the book until they pay the poll tax out of hand and then are humbled. Where does that come from? Well, that comes from the Quran. In other words, these are the words of Allah. So what should be plain to all with eyes wide open is this, that the consensus of Muslim jurisprudence mandates holy war in the name of Allah as a moral imperative. As the pioneering Maliki legal scholar Ibn Khaldun put it, in the Muslim community, the holy war is a religious duty because of the universality of the Muslim mission and the obligation to convert everyone to Islam either by persuasion or by force. And this jihadi prescription, as I said earlier in the first segment of this broadcast, was personified in the life of Muhammad. But it didn't end there. You think about the year 633, which was the year that followed the death of Muhammad. Abu Bakr, first Muslim caliph, waged jihad on the Fertile Crescent. Not only that, the northern African coast, parts of Persia, the Greek, Christian, Roman empires. A year later, 634, Umar, the second caliph, continued the pattern of expansion by the sword, which is what Islam has always done. It has always advanced by sword, not by word, but by sword. 14 centuries of history proved that beyond the peradventure of a doubt. Had he not only succeeded in subduing the entire Arabian Peninsula, but looted central Syria as well. And then a year later, 635, you have Muslim warriors conquering Damascus as well as Pella. Pella should be familiar to you because this was the place that provided refuge for Christians who had heeded Christ's warning to flee. To flee when you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies prior to the destruction of Jerusalem and its temple in AD 70. And you read about that in Luke chapter 21. Well, let's go one more year to 636. Now you have Muslim armies capturing substantial sections of Iraq. And then in a great battle in 637, you have southern Iraq, the Persians, being decisively broken, which opened the rich alluvial lands to Iraq for occupation by the armies of the Muslims. And then in 638, you have Jerusalem itself, the epicenter of the Levant, which fell victim to Muslim juggernaut. And the subjection of the Holy City, of course, solidified the Islamic control at that time of Palestine from the year 638 to the time of the First Crusade. A long period of time, the First Crusade was 1099. Muslims advanced into Egypt in 639, and in 640 captured the city of Babylon near modern Cairo. In 641, the major Christian Greek-Roman city of Caesarea fell to Muslim aggression, and Alexandria succumbed in 642, and in 643, all of Armenia. And that was but the first decade following the death of Muhammad. And so many people today are unaware of this history, and tragically, even unaware of what happened in 1914, or at least beginning in 1914, where you had the Great Armenian Genocide. And to this day, to this very day, the Turkish government denies the Armenian Genocide. And there's a great documentary out. It's called Architects of Denial. And there you will see major American public figures denying this genocide as well. This was a genocide on a scale unthinkable. And yet, one war later, Hitler banked on the amnesia of people. He was going to go in and destroy men, women, and children in Poland. And when he got some pushback, he said, why push back? After all, who remembers the Armenians? In other words, Hitler knew that memories are tragically short. We've never forgotten about the Holocaust. But many people I talk to today know little or nothing about the Armenian Genocide. That's not all that long ago. 100 years ago, a little more. And we've already forgotten. But what is most pressing from my perspective is what is happening in the Levant today. I mentioned that what is happening in terms of the genocide is squarely in the blind spot of the West. People are oblivious to the fact that Christians are dying. They're being persecuted. You go to Mosul and the doors of churches are swinging open, not because people are entering, but because they're empty, burned out, bombed out. Some of the great archaeological treasures of the world in places, well, places like Cyprus are being looted. A tragedy is going on, and most of us are blithely or blindly unaware of it. Hopefully we've brought some attention to it on this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Of course, I've also written about this in a book titled Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, the book available for those who support the ministry. You can check it out at equip.org. For those who join CRI's monthly support team, be pleased to personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend. You can also write me for the book at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We'll be back on Monday with your calls and more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And my thanks for all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.